Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and more. I'm your host, Max Bowen. In this episode, singer-songwriter Stephanie James talks about her journey moving from Boston to Los Angeles a year ago. She talks about the move, what led up to it, and some of her favorite times in Boston. She's also got a new album coming out, Unbreakable, and goes into some of the new musical directions she's gone in. Big thanks to Nina Bikel for her help in arranging the interview. She is a native of Boston, but now calls LA home most of the time. Stephanie James joins me. Stephanie, welcome to the show. It's awesome talking to you.
Thank you so much, Max. Happy to be here.
And big thanks goes out to Nina Bikel for putting this whole thing together. If you are an artist, whether you do like writing, music, film, whatever, Nina's the person that can take your career to the next level. So definitely get in touch with her. We'll put the links in the description. So Stephanie, the thing that I definitely want to ask you is what happened that led you to be moving out to LA?
It was kind of always a dream to come move out here. I grew up outside of Boston, north in Peabody. I went to college in Boston, and then after school, a lot of my friends moved out here, and I realized that if I wanted to really take my career seriously, I had to come out here on the West Coast.
When's about did you make the move?
About a year ago. I moved out the beginning of February last year.
You picked the best month to move.
I did. I missed the snow.
Not much of an outdoor where you are. Living in LA, which is kind of like the center for the whole entertainment scene out there. What's it been like being out there?
I'm still learning so much. I'm still really new. And there are just so many people here and different aspects of the entertainment industry, but also just the music industry. There's just so many things to be involved in. So of course, I'm still learning, but I've really enjoyed it. I really thrive from being around other people who want to make things happen and want to change the world with music. So I'm always inspired going out to shows and everything. And I'm surrounded by a lot of people I went to college with. So I have somewhat of a community here, which I'm really grateful for.
I often hear that LA, Hollywood, that whole area is definitely where you want to go if you want to really jump to that next level. So I imagine there's a lot of like drive. Is that the case from your perspective?
It is. It's interesting. I feel like I've only seen like 10% of what actually goes on around here, maybe even less than that. But as much as I say I've only seen a little bit of it, it is a very small world. The people you know who know the people you know, it's crazy. And it's great because I do already feel really well connected. So it's just creating more relationships and friendships with people.
What have been some of the clubs that you've been out to?
You know, one of my favorite music venues is probably Hotel Cafe. I did a show there last month, my first show, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's just a great place to listen to music, and they have two different stages. And every time I've been there, I've always met people and have left feeling inspired and learning something new or, you know, hearing what's going to be the next best thing on the radio. So it's pretty cool in that sense. But I'm trying to think of what other venues I really like. I mean, there's the Troubadour. There are, you know, those legendary venues as well that are really great.
Now, I want to also ask about your life in Boston. What was it like being in Boston and playing there?
I really love Boston. The music scene there is very limited in what you can do in the styles of music, but I think it's changing. I see a lot more like hip hop there now. There's always been a really great rock metal scene, but singer songwriter pop soul vibe, I haven't really seen much of that except for in Berkeley. That's kind of how I see it. But I think that Boston and Cambridge is growing so much right now that it's the opportunity where there needs to be more music venues because so many young people are moving to the city and people will always need music.
It's funny you should mention that because news was recently released that the Middle East is going to be for sale.
I was just thinking about that. And it's funny because I had my first show with a band at the Middle East, you know, and that place is just so old, but I think it's been such a starting point for so many artists because anyone can really play there in their room upstairs. It's unfortunate, but maybe someone will buy it and make it into a better venue. Maybe it'll smell less.
That is just the smell of like shows, you know? You know, the smell of like sweat and spilled beer and late night regret. One thing that I really miss is they used to have this really awesome pizza place, Hi-Fi Pizza, right across the street from it. And it was like the place you went after the show. And that's been like gone for like
years now, and it's replaced this place called Clover, which is not bad, but a vegetarian place versus a pizza place, I'm sorry, in Boston, they don't compare.
Right. And there's a McDonald's too. So it's like either really unhealthy or you have to go fancy vegan. There's no in between.
No, definitely not. So the Middle East was where you got your start. Where in the Middle East did you play? Was it like up, down, Zuzu, the corner?
It was upstairs.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So many shows I've been to up there. That was definitely like my favorite spot to go to.
I've seen, just people starting out, but I've also seen some touring acts upstairs as well. So there's always something great there.
Mm-hmm. Was there any place in Boston that you didn't get to play at that you really wanted to?
The TD Garden, probably.
Dream big. I like that. Very cool.
Yeah, the TD Garden. No, definitely. One of my favorite music venues in Boston is probably Brighton Music Hall. There's just something really special about that room, and you can see no matter where you're standing, and then performing there is always really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I've played there a few times, which was really exciting.
Yeah, the Sinclair is definitely mm-hmm. a great spot too, especially because they got like the second floor or the balcony section. You can see the whole place. It's such a cool experience, especially when it's like a packed house.
Mm-hmm, definitely. It's like a mini house of blues. I like it.
Yeah, good description. I like that. So what are you focusing on now that you're in LA? Are you getting out to do like playing shows? Are you focusing more on like networking? Are you doing like all the above?
Since moving out here last year, I started working with a producer. That was my main reason of coming out here, was finding people to collaborate with. And I met a producer who was referred to me by a friend. And I said, hey, let's just do one song, see how we feel. If we vibe well together, we get along. It was like a couple weeks went by and I was like, hey, do you want to do a whole album? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And so we've been spending this time working on the album, and his name's Jarell Corpus. He's really, really incredible engineer, producer, instrumentalist. And he really brought the music to life in a way that I never thought possible, and really helped me kind of find my sound and my style and really bring out the best in me. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. And this new album called Unbreakable is your debut album. Your debut full-length album. You actually released your EP Rise of the Tide back in 2017, which I totally loved. I listened to it a couple times and I really, really dug it. One thing that I did want to ask you about, this I read is kind of a reflection of your battling with anxiety. Could you talk a little more about that? And as kind of a follow-up question, how did kind of music help with that?
I guess I've always, written love songs, but also have written songs about self-reliance and really like, needing to believe in yourself and everything. Rise of the Tide, I wrote that I was at Good Harbor Beach in Gloucester, and I remember sitting like on the rocks, and I remember just like kind of watching the tide come in and out, and I'm a Pisces, so the ocean is my happy place. And I was like, dang, I wish I could just like get rid of this anxiety and the stress and the worry and just like be flowy like the ocean and just go with the flow and not have to feel like I'm so stuck in my head and stuck in this negative headspace. And that's kind of where Rise of the Tide came from. And then the other song on that EP, You Have Your Love, that was not necessarily about anxiety, but that was about you have to lean into yourself sometimes. You have your love, you have yourself, like you're not alone. Even when you feel alone, you have yourself and you have to really take care of yourself. My mom had inspired that song in some way because I feel like during that time, a lot of people were struggling around me and really being hard on themselves. And I'm like, why are we like this? We have so much to be grateful for. We have like our love.
How do you kind of like keep your own like self-love going? Like how do you sort of like keep yourself positive especially if you hit like a wall, whether it's like professionally or personally?
As I've gotten older, I've become really self-aware of my emotions and the place that I'm in. So I know when I'm kind of getting towards a bad place and how to kind of manage that. And I've kind of struggled with anxiety my whole life. In high school, I started working out, going to the gym really religiously. And my parents have always been so supportive and, saying, eat healthy, get enough sleep, take care of yourself. So that's kind of how I stay healthy. I still work out almost, 5 days out of the week. I try to eat healthy, gotta still eat ice cream. I meditate a lot. I know.
Priorities.
Priorities, yes. Ice cream is self-care. I meditate a lot and I journal and, you know, I go to therapy every once in a while, but I think it's like, I know when I need to take a break or say, you know what, this is my stopping point. I need to take care of myself. I need to, you know, maybe not hang out with people or maybe take a little break from music and, you know, have time for myself kind of thing.
Very true. Because I think especially those who work in the arts, it can be very easy to just bury yourself in that work, especially if you have like a day job too. You say, okay, you do like your 9 to 5, you come home, and then you just, you know, network and you write and you record and you do all that stuff. And then it's like 2 in the morning. Oh, geez, I'm going to sleep for like, you know, 4 hours. Then, you know, back at it again. You can burn out though if you do that too often.
Right, exactly. And I think it's like not feeling guilty about taking time for yourself and making boundaries, because I know when I don't sleep, I'm not a nice person. It's not productive, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. Something that kind of runs counter to this, though, is the whole like grinder worship that we have. People who say, oh, I'm out there making those deals and working 20 hours a day and I'm doing this and doing that. It's like, oh man, I want to be like that person because they seem so productive. But then you try and do it and then it's a whole different story.
Right. It's a balance. I mean, you have to work your butt off, but you have to be smart about how you do things. You can't be, you know, working hard on things that are with people that waste time. And you just have to choose the right way you want to focus your energy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
Now, so. Do you have any kind of like any kind of tells or warning signs when you're kind of hitting that burnout point? Or do you have someone who's pretty good at kind of catching you?
You know, my mom is pretty good at knowing, you know, what's going on. But yeah, if I start feeling anxious, honestly, if I start getting kind of panic attacks or, you know, I feel kind of nauseous or dizzy, I can tell when it's, you know, it's time to take a little break and say, why am I feeling like this? You know, what can I do in this moment to take care of myself? And, you know, maybe I didn't have enough water today. You know, it's just like, it's those little things of taking care of yourself.
Let's go back to the forthcoming album, Unbreakable. Are you going in any like new directions musically?
These songs, I think, are a lot different from what my first EP was. These songs kind of have like a little bit of a country vibe to them. Hmm. Not super country, but just a little bit of a twang kind of vibe. But still singer-songwriter and there's also real instruments. I wanted the album to sound warm and just really real. But also staying current with the trends in the industry now. I just knew that I wanted real drums, real bass in there as well. That was really important to me.
And once it's done, once it's out there, do you think you'll be doing like a tour? Do you be doing like some like CD release shows?
I'm hoping to play out more shows for sure. I'm hoping to come back to Boston. Not sure when, but to do a few listening party release shows, as well as here in LA. But yeah, eventually I want to tour. I'd love to open for someone. That would be amazing, and maybe do that. I've always wanted to go to Europe and do a tour there, like London and stuff. So I'm working it out now and hopefully setting up music to agents and hopefully trying to get some traction and some representation.
Mentioning Boston, what do you miss about the city?
I really miss walking around everywhere. When I was in school, I lived right in Back Bay, right across from Berkeley. And I miss going for runs along the Charles. I miss J.P. Licks.
yes, yes, yes.
You know, I miss like the seasons a bit. You know, even though it was a city, the air was so much cleaner than LA. Like the smog just feels and looks suffocating. Like it's heavy. It's really
yeah.
Heavy.
I've heard that. Boston is definitely a great walking city. I lived there for 8 years. I lived in Fenway for a couple of years, Brighton for 5, then Somerville for 1. And I just loved, especially on like the Fridays and weekends, just going out there and just walking. You know. Walking to like the venues to like catch a show or meet with my friends or just like walking around at night. If you're on like the Mass Ave Bridge near MIT, the view of the cityscape is perfect. I always loved that.
Perfect.
Yep.
It's so great. Even like going out to dinner and it's late at night and you're walking back home and it's still humid, you know, but it's 11 o'clock at night. Yep. I mean, I love that. I don't miss the cold, though. I don't miss walking, you know, a mile with the wind tunnels. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking to yourself, huh, I can't feel my face. That should probably bother me.
Right, right. It's terrible. I have some great photos from living there when we have, like, had snow days and we're just, like, standing and you can see the Prudential like, building behind us and everything. And
yeah. I think it was, like, 3 years ago when we had that like, 2 feet of snow in February,
mm-hmm.
and the train shut down. You know that we are well and truly screwed. If the train was like shutting down, we're in trouble.
Right, right. I don't miss the transportation system, that's for sure.
No. There's not much to miss there.
No.
Does LA have its own like train system?
They do. They have like I haven't taken any of it. I think there's a train that's in Santa Monica and goes all the way downtown. Some people use it. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll go explore.
There you go. There you go. Have you had the chance to do a lot of exploring in LA? Just kind of walk around, checking things out?
Yeah, I have. I tried going to different farmers markets and different coffee shops in the areas. I live on the east side of LA. So yeah, I would, you know, I've spent a lot of time by myself just going out during the day and checking things out and walking around. What's really cool about LA is that every area is so different, the way the buildings are, the kind of food and, you know, the things that you can do. It's just so different from, you know, Hollywood to Silver Lake to North Hollywood to Malibu. Like, they just have their own kind of energy, which is cool.
You have had a lot of schooling when it comes to the music. 10 years classical pop and vocal coaching. You went to the aforementioned Berklee College of Music, which is like this like music factory for Boston. So many great bands come out. They're all like Berklee cats.
Mm-hmm.
You've played in Boston, New York City, LA, of course. What do you think you've learned being on stage versus the classroom? Do you think one has been more instructive than the other?
You know, you learn, I feel like you learn so much. And I think that all of the aspects of being a musician are important. It's important to know theory. It's important to know vocal technique. It's important to know how to get on stage and wear the correct, you know, kind of clothing and like present yourself well. I think that there's just so many pieces that go into it, which is difficult, but also you can, you know, focus on certain things. You know, I'm really, really grateful. I spent a lot of time in a wedding function band for the past few years while I was in Boston, and I was performing every Saturday night. And that was the best experience I could get, you know, maybe singing the same songs over and over again, but learning how to sing them different, way to interact with the crowd differently, having a band. Like, I learned a lot from that, from doing acoustic gigs by myself, not by myself, with a duo, but there's just always an opportunity to learn. And if you're willing to learn, you're going to absorb things and grow, and just depends on that.
Do you come from a musical family?
No. Well, yes and no. My parents aren't musical, but my cousin is a musician and is a producer. And my godfather, my uncle, actually teaches at Berklee and is a conductor and a musician. So that would be probably the only music in my family.
It usually is one of like two extremes. Either, oh yeah, my whole family plays and they're all musicians, or nope, no one.
Right, right. It's true. True.
How'd you get into music in the first place?
You know, I was always singing when I was a little kid, and I was always really drawn to like listening to, you know, Barney and singing with, like, I think it was called Sillyville or something like that. My grandparents used to take care of me when my parents were working, when I was, you know, probably 4 years old. And my grandfather told my mom, like, she can sing. She has a gift, so she needs to use it. And that always stuck with my mom. And my parents really never pushed me into music, but they, you know, always gave me the opportunity to, you know, try voice lessons or try different things. And they've always been really supportive. My whole family has, and that's like really such a blessing. And they've seen me since I was little, because I used to put on shows on the fireplace. We have at my grandmother's house, we have like a higher fireplace, and they'd be eating dinner and I would just put on a show. So that's just kind of like, this kind of always was a thing.
I sincerely hope that they have video of that and that we can see it someday.
I know, me too. I know we have some photos, but I'm not sure about video.
Ah, okay, all right. Now, did you ever record anything at like a young age? Did you get the chance to record something when you were like a kid or a teenager?
I have some recordings of some cover songs.
Okay, who'd you cover? I gotta know.
I definitely did My Immortal, Evanescence.
Oh, yes.
I loved Evanescence growing up. My dad, my mom really loved them too.
Oh, that it was really just that one song they did, but like everyone knew that song.
Right, right. It was huge. It was really big. You know, there are more, I only was in the studio a few times when I was really young, but there are more like performance videos from when I was like 12. They're on YouTube somewhere buried.
Do you think that you're in LA for good, or are you sort of just still testing the waters and seeing how it fits you?
I'm honestly taking things a day at a time. I know a lot of people have said when you go to LA, you have to spend 8 or 10 years there before you come home and give up. And I'm like, that's just such a sad.
That's so depressing. Jeez.
You know, I think there's a lot here, and I do love it. My goal really is to be bi-coastal and have a beach house and then a penthouse on Calm Ave or, you know, Marlborough Street. That's kind of the goal. Yeah, I see myself here for a while. I have a lot of work to do out here, for sure.
That's a good dream. I like that dream, actually. I think more people should do that. They should try just to leave and to just try things out. Now, when the time came for you to leave, were you having a hard time, you know, just making it happen?
It was so difficult. It was probably one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made, because when I finished Berkeley, I moved home for a year and a half because I was so burnt out from school and just wasn't ready to move anywhere immediately. I kind of wanted to take a deep breath for a second. So a lot of my friends had already moved to New York and Nashville and LA, and I was here gigging, you know, 2 to 4 nights a week, teaching music lessons, working in a restaurant. And I was living at home and I was writing songs and it was really comfortable and it was really safe. But I knew that I needed to feel uncomfortable to grow. And there were people I wanted to work with out here. And I knew that I had to make the jump. So it was really hard to like take all those things that were so comfortable and easy and making money and like enjoying what Boston had to offer. So it was really hard. It was really, really hard.
I can relate because 2018, I said goodbye to everything to move down to Philadelphia and didn't work, but I'm glad I at least made the attempt, because if I hadn't done it, I would have always wondered.
Totally. Yeah, you have to go for it. And I told myself too that nothing's permanent. You know, things are always changing. And I think if we tell ourselves that, opposed to like, this is the be all end all, you know, we're okay with the decision.
Yeah. I came back, and within 2 months, I had 2 jobs. I had a place of my own, and I was all moved in. So it's not like you are going to come back to nothing. It's not like your parents are like changing the locks and selling your room.
Right, right. I know. It's true. You can always come home, and it's true. You everything happens for a reason. Like, you figure things out.
Best part about living in L.A.?
The sun. The sun.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. I know. I never really understood what it would really feel like for it to be sunny every day and not be cold. I'm like, I never understood how that could be possible. So, yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Oh, man. That's so cool. Now, I want to just touch briefly again on the album. You're also going to be putting out a single prior to that.
The one that will be out is going to be called Throw Me a Rope. And it is actually ocean themed, like Rise of the Tide. I co-wrote this song with a really dear friend of mine, Leah Weigel. It's a really special song, and it really represents, again, that theme of really having to rely on yourself sometimes and being brave and believing in yourself and doing what you need to do to be happy and healthy and everything. So,
why this song out of all the others?
I think it gives a good taste of what the album will kind of be like. It's upbeat, but it's also not too upbeat. It's right there in the middle, and I think it gets people's attention the most, more than some of the other songs, in a way. Okay. So
you mentioned earlier that this album is going to have a little bit of a twang to it. Now, I don't know nothing about the LA music scene, but is country like a presence there?
Not really. I haven't really experienced much country music here. Yeah, people say my voice kind of has a little bit of a country twang in it. It's not very country. Maybe Casey Musgraves country, like that kind of vibe mm-hmm. with real instruments and things, but not too crazy.
Actually, like country, I think, or at least like Americana, is definitely big in New England. I mean, you've kind of like absorbed some of that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right. Well, Stephanie, it's been really cool talking to you. But folks at home, if you want to learn more about this person, you definitely should. You go to stephaniejamesmusic.com. All kinds of info there. Get her album, Rise with the Tide, and Unbreakable coming out very soon. Find her on Spotify, all your various music channels. And Stephanie, hopefully we'll be talking again real soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Hi, this is singer Kate Eppers, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
And that brings this episode to a close. Big thanks to Stephanie for joining me, and you, the listener, for checking out each and every episode. Listen to the show on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and every Saturday at 10 p.m. on Boston Free Radio. Follow the show on Facebook under Citywide Blackout, and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. And check out citywideblackout.blogspot.com. To close things out, I've got an acoustic version of Stephanie James's song, Throw Me a Rope. As always, keep those ears open.
Treading water since I got here. Heavy rocks in both of my hands. I'm still breathing, body moving. Doing it cause I have to. In this ocean, I'm still hoping. It ain't always gonna be this way. I love swimming, I love living. I'll get through it cause I have to. I see the shoreline, but I'm never arriving. I get so tired and the water keeps rising. Throw me rope, cast me a line. Can't you see I've been trying? Find me some land. Empty out my hands. Won't you take me upstairs? Put your hands in my hair. Won't you put me to bed? Even though my body's aching from the rocks in both my hands. Even though I'm past my limit, limits change cause they have. Nothing's gonna change until I do. Nothing's gonna change, nothing's gonna change. Nothing's gonna change until I do. Nothing's gonna change, nothing's gonna change. Nothing's gonna change. Tell me right.